FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Kusapja here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop? Transformers! Defenders of
truth! Robots who fight in disguise! Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 270, recorded December 16th, 2017. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don. Unmute your mic.
Sorry, I didn't want to click. Hey, guys.
And Rick Alvarez.
Hey, how's everyone? Happy holidays.
Absolutely. And we also have a special guest this evening, Mr. John Kent. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Tonight is our holiday episode, and I'm hearing echo. Where am I hearing echo from? Tonight is our holiday episode. We are going to have basically two podcasts in one. The first hour, we're going to have myself, Rick, Don, and Mr. Kent on. We're going to be talking about things that Mr. Kent has worked on and is working on. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about Don and Rick's favorite official and unofficial Transformers picks of 2017. Maybe a favorite holiday memory that is Transformers related. And then we're going to rotate out and have the rest of the cast come on, and we will have another round of discussions. And if anybody has any gifts that Secret Santa had sent them, we will be opening them tonight. I didn't get anything because nobody loves me, you know. But but tonight we hope that you all enjoy this show. This will be our final broadcast of the 2017 calendar year. We will be returning on January 13th. I believe it's a Monday. We will be having special guest Brian of The Toys That Made Us, the Netflix original series, Brian Volkweiss. He is the executive producer and the creator of that show. We'll be having him on to talk about it. So if you check out the show December 22nd on Netflix, be sure to tune in to our show on YouTube Monday, January 13th. It's a very special night and special time. We'll be having Brian Volkweiss on to talk about that show. So really excited about that. Also, before we get going any farther, I want to get our sponsors out of the way. Check out CapturePrey.com. Great toys, yay, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping. Also, Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. You can find Mega Toy Fan at all the popular robot and toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon. Well, used to be BotCon, but, well, there is no more BotCon.
I believe also, you can still order and get stuff in time for the holidays.
Actually, I believe they are completely sold out now. They went 90% Friday. I actually picked up a set of Waruders for $16.
Oh, I was talking about Captured Prey, but
yeah, they do. No, they got some stuff. Also, check out Ripped Apparel at rippedapparel.com. A lot of Transformer mashup and themed shirts there. Shirts, coasters, hoodies, whatever you like. They have at Ripped Apparel, even if it's not Transformer related. On your checkout, please be sure to use the promo code TFYLPPOD, and you will save 10% on your order at rippedapparel.com. So without further ado, let's get on into our episode. We got a lot to cover tonight, a lot of memories and a lot of cool things to talk about. But first of all, Mr. Kent, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do right now.
Currently, I am the owner of Toyfinity Toys, which is a company devoted to promotion of five brands that were previously owned by Ideal Toys from the 60s to the 1980s. The brands include RoboForce, which is familiar to a lot of Transformer fans as the Christmas present they got in 1984 that was not an Optimus Prime.
I am a fan of RoboForce, as I had a RoboForce figure. I had the vehicle as well for RoboForce.
I vaguely remember RoboForce, vaguely. The name sounds familiar, but I'm trying to visually picture it.
Do you want to share those pictures while he's talking to Ron?
Yeah, let me pull them up here and just continue talking. I'll pull them up here.
So we have RoboForce. We have Star Team, which was Ideal's attempt to beat Kenner to market in the 70s with sci-fi themed toys around the time of the release of Star Wars. Zeroids, a robotic line from the 60s, also meant to play with Major Matt Mason. And then two more horror-themed lines, Manglers, which were possibly the worst toy line of all time, a rubbery figure that you were supposed to be able to rip apart and put back together that didn't work, but great Ken Kelly box art. And Rocks and Bugs and Things, which were essentially transforming rocks and bugs that would fight each other to eat mortals, little gremlin-type characters.
Now, Night of Darkness from the Star Team is one of those figures that a lot of people from the 70s and 80s just know existed. They know someone who had one. It's like a Mego style figure, and it's basically the equivalent of Darth Vader, or maybe Darth Helmet. And
Dark Helmet.
Dark Helmet. it's got its own charm to it. It is a special figure, despite being from a lesser known brand that was just toys. As I recall, there was no fiction. No comics for Star Team, was there, John?
They actually had a pack-in comic that was produced by Marvel.
Wow.
And it was just the one-off. Yeah. I think it's scanned on the internet somewhere. I'll try to look for a link for that later. But basically, you can look up the history of Star Team through court websites, because Lucasfilm actually sued Ideal for infringing on Star Wars, and shockingly and possibly the only time Lucas lost the lawsuit, because the courts found that there was no potential for brand confusion with the toys, because people immediately could identify Star Wars, but they knew specifically that Night of Darkness and Zeroid and ZEM 23 is their equivalent to C-3PO, were clearly not the Star Wars characters. The only thing that got them into trouble was on the box for Star Team, they have a painting that looks like X-Wings fighting each other. And as part of the court case, if they had ever run another series, they would have had to change out the painting. But it was a one and done for Star Team.
Now, before we get into the modern day re-release,
I've got a screen share up of the first image. It's of the little white robot.
So these are the RoboForce figures.
Yes.
So, you know, before we get into like the modern day production and revival of these brands, John, can you talk to us about what inspired you to go back and search for these classic properties?
Well, what had happened was I wanted to produce movies, and I took a very circuitous route to get to that point, but I had produced, I think, two movies, and I was preparing to create my own line of action figures utilizing the GLIOS system. For those unfamiliar, the GLIOS system was created by Matt Dowdy of O'Neill Design, and it's basically a system of pins and ports that allow you to customize your figure and interchange parts easily with a universal joint system. At this point in 2017, I think there are over 30 properties that have used the system, so there's a lot of potential interchangeability if you got into it today. And I was looking at producing my own original IP using that system. So I had an eBay save search for RoboForce. And back in 2012, I didn't get my emails for a couple of weeks because of a problem with Gmail. So once I went back and finally got all the emails downloaded, I saw that there had been a prototype of an unproduced RoboForce character for sale on eBay. I was aggravated because I had been looking to purchase those items for many years. And I started doing Google searching, and I found someone who had the original ideal blueprints of RoboForce toys. So I got in contact with this gentleman. His site is toymemories.com.
Back in the day when the internet was still like innocent to a point? Like when eBay was still a little like young, or was this like?
No, 2012. Years
ago, 10 years. Okay.
Yeah, in 2012. And another reason that I hadn't just caught it was that the figure was in the wrong box. It looks like a full production sample of Tiltor the Changer, and he was in the wrong box. So the seller had listed him incorrectly. You would have really had to have looked at this auction to see that it was the incorrect figure. But when I did this Google search, I found the blueprints for Tiltor in this gentleman's possession. And I said, how'd you get these blueprints? And he said, I bought them from the guy who owns the remains of Ideal. And my original IP went out the window. And initially, all I really wanted to get the rights to were the Rocks and Bugs and Things so I could reproduce the mortals. But then I realized that there was an opportunity to take these concepts that were, some of them were strong. I mean, Star Team has potential, but it's mostly known as the, you know, fake Darth Vader line. But I thought that that could really be an interesting set of concepts to revitalize a little bit and bring into a cohesive narrative. So I had already set up the financing to do my original IP, and we just started right into the Ideal properties.
So this person made a licensing agreement with you, or he offered to sell you the rights full out?
I talked to him about a licensing agreement, and he was more interested in selling the rights.
And was that just for, like, did he say, all right, well, here's the rights for RoboForce, and it's this much, and here's Star Team if you're interested? Or did he just make, like, a blanket offer?
We put together a package of financing that was suitable to what he needed. Interesting story about this person, you know, who can be found if you search him enough on the internet. What he figured out was, toy companies in the 60s, 70s, 80s spent tens of thousands of dollars on tooling to make board games, toy lines, you know, anything. And they'd have a shelf life average of a year to 2 years. If you had a really good board game, I mean, maybe that could run decades, right?
Monopoly.
Monopoly. So he said, if I take this tooling that is dead in the United States and release it in other places that it hadn't properly been exploited, I can make money without having to put out money for tooling. So one of the examples, if you ever go to a Family Dollar type store, there was a board game that was sold over the last decade to 20 years. Because I had an example of this game before I went and, you know, met this gentleman, called Sharky's Diner. And it's a picture of this cartoon shark, and he's, you know, got a bib on, and he's eating what looks like junk out of a bowl. Well, it turns out it's the ideal Jaws game from the 70s, which still existed. The original tooling still existed, but he just can't call it Jaws because he'd have to license that from Universal. So he came up with a new name, put out the exact same game, and there you go. He's making money off of something that's decades old, but still, you know, works enough for the dollar store to sell it.
Basically made took something that was old and made it new again.
Exactly. So part of the reason that he was willing to get rid of these properties is that the tooling for RoboForce and not Manglers, that was actually scrapped. Some of the Zeroid tooling, a lot of the Star Team tooling, it was all in Hong Kong. He never pursued that tooling, even though he owned it or owns it. It may still be over there somewhere in the Indiana Jones
world. No, that stuff is all used as shipping anchors right now. That stuff's at the bottom of the ocean right now.
Hopefully.
With a lot of Star Wars tooling, unfortunately.
Well, if you want a good story,
Hasbro ended up selling it off, the original Kenner Star Wars tooling, and it's at the bottom of the ocean.
You remember the Darth Vader case?
Yes.
That they put back in the 90s?
Yeah.
He had it. They bought it back off of him. He likes telling that story.
So basically, you took, to kind of recap, you took an old IP, and you're basically reinvigorating it, I guess, through for a new generation. Is that the idea? Or
yeah, but look at the bigger picture, Duran. He's a fan. He's a toy collector, and he went out and he sought whoever owned XYZ brand.
Well, that's what I'm getting
at here. Purchased it. How amazing is it? How come we haven't done that yet?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. You know, it's like whenever you're not. Well, let me rephrase that. Whenever you're a fan of something and it just doesn't exist anymore or isn't on the market, and you have the idea like he has, you know. This is an option, I guess. You know, seek it out, see who owns it, see if it's being used, and find a way to monetize it and bring it back to life.
I'd like to find it's out who owns Transformers.
It's not easy to bring it back. Here was the problems that I ran into. Because of the way that trademark and copyright law work, the original designs are protected because they have these blueprints of the designs, right? So I could acquire those easily, but it's difficult to get the names back because we're in a totally different legal scenario than we were in 1984, where you could have Flash and G.I. Joe, the Flash from DC, Flash Gordon. These companies didn't have such far-reaching goals where it was the Flash is a movie and it's going to be confused with Flash Gordon and we have to protect our rights.
Or generic names. So, for example, like I'm holding up the Power of the Prime Scrapnel here. which in the 80s was called Shrapnel, but they call it Scrapnel, though. They can't call it Shrapnel for whatever reason.
Exactly, exactly. So when I get these rights, RoboForce, I cleared a trademark on that easily. Manglers cleared that one easily. Mattel actually had a trademark on Star Team because it was a subline of their Toy Story figures.
I remember that. The Woody in space and the...
Exactly.
The T-Rex in space, yeah.
So I had to keep an eye on the trademark database for when they finally let that expire and then, you know, snap it back up. One of the major characters in Zeroids is Zog, Z-O-G-G. So turns out that there's an Australian swimwear company named Zogs with an S, right? So I filed the trademark and then they send me legal documents saying, you know, cease and desist use, you're infringing on our trademark. I have a really good IP lawyer and he got in touch with them and explained to them what we were doing and that it wouldn't interfere with their branding. So officially, I have to refer to him as Commander Zog in any of my packaging or, you know, on the website. I ran into a problem with Knight of Darkness because I filed a trademark for Knight of Darkness and I got a letter from Warner Brothers because apparently Knight of Darkness is similar to the Dark Knight in their minds. So it looked like we were not going to be able to call him the Knight of Darkness, but legally we are allowed to call him that. I just can't make a comic book called Knight of Darkness or a movie called Knight of Darkness.
John, is that sort of like along the lines of like, you can't call Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel in the front of a comic. You have to be called Shazam. Sort of,
yes.
Sort of that whole, because it seems to me that is this whole similar but different thing something that is still a major thing in the trademark industry? Because it seems like every now and then we see events like, you know, someone in the industry like you says, you know, I'm doing this X, but Y says I can't. And it's like, and the average person won't get confused because, like you said, one is a toy, one is swimwear. And right. It's like, is that something basically, I guess what I'm asking is, are there a lot of companies out there that take extremes? It's like,
that's called a high risk. That's at least what we called it in Hasbro. We called it a high risk, where we would say, all right, well, this company in so-and-so country calls their goggles, you know, Slug or Grimlock, whatever.
Right.
We have a high risk of getting into legal jeopardy with them.
Even if common sense however, says there's no way these two things are the same.
Yeah. However, we feel that if it should go down that route, we're able to prove that we're different enough because it's a toy that we're willing to take that legal jeopardy. So that was it, within the Hasbro walls, that was called a high risk.
So I think it's similar to
in the toy industry.
Right. I think it's similar to the argument that they used to use about movie ratings in the 80s, right? They would rate a movie and be worried about a phantom child walking into on a movie that was R-rated. So they can't have a rating that's adults only that is not pornographic material. They eventually did make NC-17 an official thing. You know, there was enough argument about that. So it's about protecting a consumer from confusion and finding something negative. And one of the examples that has always stuck out to me is there were some scumbags a few years back, and what they did was they would grab websites that were one letter misspelled from a real website. So your kid goes to Disney.com, right? They would copyright Dinsey, Dinsey.com, and then put hardcore pornography on it. So your kid, by this misspelling, goes to this hardcore pornography or something that's going to fish their money off of them. And there's always something good at any the heart of any of these legislations. But once the reason that I can call him Knight of Darkness is because if you took, regardless of the name on the package, right, there's no way that anyone is going to confuse Batman, maybe one of the top 10 most recognizable characters on the planet, with anything else.
With the Dark Knight, yeah.
Yeah, you just said it. The Dark Knight. It's the Knight of Darkness.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where the words can be interchangeable as far as, yeah, you understand. I mean, the Flash, and Flash Gordon, but the great grandmom walks in the store and she bought the wrong thing and she thinks that they're being misled. You know, I mean, and that's where the bootleg craze when you're buying Cassette Man when you wanted Soundwave.
You know, that's an interesting thing. Even if the names are completely different, though. And this is something that happened back in the 80s when I was a kid. You know, you'd ask for a Transformer, and invariably somebody would buy you a GoBot. Well, it's the same thing. You know, no, it's not. It's one says Transformer. Yeah. One says Transformer on the package. The other one does not, you know.
But you also have to get to the point where you're looking at everybody calls all tissues Kleenex. So yeah. You also have to worry about your brand.
Or all sodas Coke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Depending on where you are in the country.
Yeah, I remember Lanny Latham from the Transformers Collectors Club told me a story that when he was a kid, he just wanted a G.I. Joe figure. He wanted G.I. Joe. This is the 12-inch shows. And on Christmas Day, he got the, Sergeant Rock or Sergeant Stone from Ertl, I believe it was. And he's like, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. His parents felt so bad, they went out and they bought him a G.I. Joe the next day.
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, talking about reviving an old franchise that basically you don't see anything of anymore. But I know that recently, I believe Mattel actually recopyrighted or retrademarked it, Dino Riders from like the late 80s, early 90s. I love those things. You don't see anything like that on the market today, really. You know, I wonder how hard it would be to get that license and bring those back. I mean, I know that they've recopyrighted the names and stuff, but, you know, maybe.
Is it really about the names as much as it is about having the actual physical item, though?
Yeah.
So, John, let me ask you this. Maybe you can't get into specifics, but are there other licenses or other brands that you have thought about pursuing that you've been able to track down the owners, and maybe you can't work a deal, or there's stuff in the works that's coming?
I have my hands full with the five licenses that I already have. So, but over the years, other people have come to me and said, can you help me track down the owners of this brand, a different brand? And I've researched a few. The problem that you're going to run into is finding out exactly who is the legal owner of something today. Because the deals that were written back then were in a lot of cases not comprehensive enough to cover a 30 years later situation.
How many Golden Robotech to me comes to mind?
Yes. Yes. The one I always think of is GoBots, where, Rick, who owns Tonka's assets now?
Hasbro owns Tonka's assets. However, they don't own the
designs for the GoBots.
Designs is tricky. They don't own the direct visual representations of the Bandai toys.
Right. And that's the rub about any of these things. I mean, people were asking me for years about Sectars, right? And I actually had done some work into Sectars. You know that Zika Toys announced the Kickstarter for that for next year. And the problem with Sectars is that it's owned by a couple of different people. There's a group called Seven Towns, and you know, if you go on Instagram, you can see I'm blanking on the name.
Now, I am a big fan of sectars. I have almost every single sectar in the package, including the European edition packaging. And when I was at Hasbro, I worked on sectars because the leading theory at Hasbro was that they own a part of sectar. So when I saw the Zika announcement, I was very surprised at that because I directly worked on sectars at Hasbro.
It's confusing to say the least as to who owns what. And that's for the lawyers to decide.
Sectars is a great property. RoboForce is a great property. And it's part of the Glio system now. So anyone who knows the Glio system, basically the figure comes apart into a million pieces. I mean, the elbows come off, the shins, the hands, the cod piece, the head. And you can take any Glio's figure and make your own creation. And I'm not talking about like it has to have a torso and two arms and two legs. It could be – I mean it really is the sky's the limit. You can pretty much create anything you want from the Glio system. Now, how many releases of the RoboForce line have you had?
Got to be over 30 at this point.
And now have you actually added to the IP of RoboForce? Have you created new characters?
Well, let me tell you about the direction that we decided on when I got the IPs. Once I knew I had the rights locked up, I went to Matt Dowdy and I said,
"A wonderful human being."
Yes, yes, he is. I said, "How do we bring this back?" You know, because what you have to look at if you're going to take an old IP is, are you doing a nostalgia line, which continues and expands on the original presentation of the concept? Original RoboForce is like a 4.5 to 5 inch figure and was developed actually to play along with He-Man and 3¾ G.I. Joe. What a lot of people don't understand about RoboForce is that the last thing they were expecting was to debut at a toy fair where Transformers was involved. It was delayed in production by a year or so. I've talked to a number of former Ideal employees that confirmed this for me. And Ideal was not an action figure company. They were primarily a board game company. So every time they would try to do action figures, it drifted off of something else. You know, Major Matt Mason's a major hit. We're going to do robots in scale with that because their Major Matt Mason was going to be realistic astronaut gear. So they do robots. Same way Colorform Aliens did the figures for that.
I'm actually a big Major Matt Mason fan.
Oh, yeah.
Even though that's the 60s and it's way before my time. I was born in 79, but I have several Major Matt Mason pieces.
Yeah, I had a pretty good collection at one point as well. Mostly to go with my vintage Zeroids. Star Team, you know, they can't get Star Wars product on the shelf, but the Knight of Darkness was actually originally Captain Action from the 60s. They threw a new head on him and some clothes. They reused the gun from one of the other figures. You know, the cheapest possible way to get something to market. Zeroid is just one of their 60s Zeroids with the head removed so that it would be cheaper to make and look more like R2-D2. So we have all these properties. And basically, we had to rank all the characters inside of these properties because between those five properties, I probably have 50 or 60 characters that we could do just based on the vintage stuff. And you have to decide it, like I was saying, if it's a nostalgia line or if it's something new. So I'm not going to make a 5-inch Glios line because we can't do the joints in that size. You know, it's just not going to work. But we wanted to make the figure compatible with all the existing stuff. So I figured that the best place to start, because the original Mortals from Rocks and Bugs and Things were so expensive on the aftermarket, they were like $100 a piece in some cases. We'll do a reproduction set of those to start the company off, and we'll develop Max Steel from RoboForce, because that's your main, that's my Mickey Mouse, Batman, you know, whatever you want to say. So it took some time to figure out what Max should actually be. We can't call him Max Steel. One of the guys who worked at Ideal actually had named that robot and took that. He now works at Mattel, so that's why it's named Max Steel. So now he's Max. Yeah, that really worked well for him. Now he's known as Max Zero. And Zero because he's like a prototype of a robot, but also because I knew from the start that we had the rights to Zeroids. We just had to clear the name because someone else was trademark squatting on it. And, you know, he's the 10th Zeroid. You know, he's like a, he was going to be this Zeroid war machine that never went into production. And that's from the storyline aspect. But we're going to start the line with this Max. You know, he's your main man. But because the tooling is so expensive, we can't just make one figure. Ideal could throw away a full tooling budget on one figure because they had the backing of a corporation. You know, I'm not a rich person. I use a lot of independent financing for what I do. So it was, how can I make something in my tooling that's going to last me for years? And what Matt came up with, he's my primary designer. I'm not a toy designer. I'm more of the idea, you know, let's make a kit that makes multiple characters from RoboForce. And as well, gives you the opportunity to, if you're already a GLaDOS fan, use the pieces to build anything from your imagination, as Rick had said earlier. Some of the builds on Instagram, I don't understand how they even came up with what they did. It's not something that we had designed from the beginning. Maybe Matt did. I mean, he is working on the next level in that sense. So it came down to, it has to make Max. The main villain is called Hundred the Conqueror. He's got a pretty unique visual design, you know, when you look at him and Max together. So it has to make those two characters. And that's what we started to work on. Then it became about, how expensive do I want this tooling to be? I can't get into the exact numbers, obviously. You know, that's one of the agreements that we have to not reveal the tooling costs. But I kept adding pieces. So it could have been a nice basic figure that you could get for under $10, but it wound up coming in so costly on the other side that our most basic kit, which it consists of, I should have this pulled up on the computer, right, before I say it. Like 42 pieces in the kit to make robots with, $15 without paint on it. Which is a substantial amount.
That is very
compared to.
Now, does that include the tooling cost as well?
Yeah, I mean, this is how it covers.
So once you tooled it and produced it, it was $15 without any deco on it.
To sell to the consumer, not my cost. Now, when people are buying $15 Transformers at that point, you know, a deluxe, I think, was 15. Is it 15 now?
It's 15. It's
15.99, 17.99. Yeah.
But what you have to understand when you get into the world of independent toys is what you're actually buying is not a corporation trying to take as much money from you as possible with releases every month and exclusives, and you got to go to Big Bad, and then it's sold out, and now I can't find the Siege on Cybertron set anywhere.
Right. It's a niche market. It's a limited edition thing. And sometimes it caters to just the RoboForce people. Sometimes it caters to just the GLaDOS people. But you have a base, which you're already building on. When you join the GLaDOS family, you already have a base that's already interested in your product. And now you're adding an official IP that many of us recognize from our childhoods on top of that.
Yes.
So you've found success in searching out these old IPs, revitalizing them. I'm not up to date with what you've been doing lately, but are there plans for Star Team releases?
Yes. Yes. Basically, the order that we went down was we're going to do RoboForce first. Max, 100, we've done the classic versions. We've done specialized versions where they were in the current storyline, of which I have comics of. You can read at toyfinity.com. We released the Mortals. We did a big vinyl Mortal. And when we were looking at the next release of what we should do after the RoboForce, we went back to the 60s Zeroid, and we've put out a kit that's based on the Zeroid. You can make the three classic Zeroids, Zintar, Zobor, and Zirak, out of this kit. And we're releasing the classic colorways. We had our first release of Zintar this year, actually. And we introduced what's called the Darkness Soldier. They are the harbingers of the Night of Darkness. We started that last year, and we've had three successful releases of that so far. In 2018, we'll actually have our first full-branded Star Team item with the Knight of Darkness joining the RoboForce line.
Now, is that the Knight of Darkness as part of the Glio system as well?
Yes, yes. Now, what we found was...
Are these pictures that we're sharing here, or what are these right here?
These are the products that that John has produced. Okay. Except for the Knight of Darkness and the Zem 21.
Okay.
Those are the classic original figures. But these other images are the examples of, you know, what John and crew have done is they've taken an IP, and rather than re-release it as it was, they've reinvented what that IP is. It's still the same characters, but a completely different format.
You know,
exactly. And now with an added ability of being able to be combined, reconstituted as other characters with other parts from other toy lines that you have.
Well, this one that I've got on the screen right here that I'm sharing, it's the robot with the black body, the dome gray head, and the gray and red arms. To me, it's very reminiscent. I don't know if you remember this, Rick, the Horde robots that Hordak used.
The Horde Troopers, yeah.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent. It's not identical, but it's very reminiscent of those.
This was actually a character from RoboForce that they've redone. Now, let me throw something at you, John.
Mm-hmm.
The RoboForce guys, I don't know if all of them had it, but one of them did, was the suction cup, right? On the bottom?
Yes.
I had that one. Did they all have that, or was it just one character?
All of the originals had the suction cup.
Okay, so the suction cup, and I would go around my house, and we had this dining room table that was glass, and I would go to underneath the table and put that thing up, and I left all these circles underneath the table that my mom was pissed off about, because she had to get underneath the table to clean all that stuff up. Is there a plan to release a suction cup as part of the Glio system to fully reimagine your RoboForce characters as you had them in the 1980s?
No, I wouldn't do a full on suction cup.
You broke my heart.
I guess you could say that kind of sucks.
but
the great
John,
thing about the figures is that you could customize a suction cup and put it on there yourself.
It's not the same if it didn't come from the factory. But I understand what you mean. Glios is about customization.
Yes.
And I want to congratulate you, John, on being what 95% of the fandom wants to be. Someone who went out, searched who owned X, Y, and Z from their childhood. And they went out and they actually, they put up their money and they actually made it. they actually produced something that's viable and popular, something that's actually loved. The GLaDOS community, they are extremely passionate about the GLaDOS system. So congratulations to you. You're far more accomplished than I am in the independent toy market. Are there anything from 2018 that you want to share with us real quick?
Well, we're going to have our first release of 2018 next month in January. We're going to be continuing our classic Zeroid line, and we're going to have the introduction finally of the Knight of Darkness. I hadn't announced that before now, but that is definitely coming next month. We are continuing to develop Manglers. We want to make sure you can actually rip them apart and put them back together, which will be possible with the GLaDOS system. And if we were going to do a suction cup, right? Say if we had something like that in development, it would be something that looked like the suction cup but wouldn't function like a suction cup. It's just, I love the idea of it, but I mean, if I spent the money on it, I don't think it would work.
Well, it could be like there was a Transformer recently that came out that was Cosmos, and it came with a display stand that you could put another figure inside the display stand, and it looked like it was like abducting the figure because the cone of the plastic it was sitting on was the abduction beam that it was abducting the figure. So you could do like a display stand maybe that looked like a suction cup, but was a display stand.
That's an interesting idea.
So let's talk about Manglore Mountain and that playset. When will that be available?
I do have another product in development, but it is not Manglore's related.
Okay. So you're saying the Manglore Mountain is waiting for release next to the USS flag. Got it.
Well, John, I've got one quick question for you, just as a blue sky question. What property that you know you would never be able to get from a former line that you would love to work on, either from your own childhood or just this is a great line that needs a second great chance question. At life? You know, it could be a line that you know you'll never get because of either because the rights are just up in the air, the people that do own it will never let it go. Just, you know, just blue sky that.
The number one would probably be Microman.
Nice. Microman, I actually want to put
on the GLaDOS system. That would be
I want to put that question out to the entire cast. Actually, Don, what line from the 80s would you like to work on and reimagine?
Actually, it's not from the 80s. It's from the 90s or early 2000s.
Ooh, can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Dark Water?
No. Exo Squad.
Oh, Exo Squad.
Exo Squad, it was such a phenomenally done toy. It's one of the greatest Playmates lines they've ever done. And yes. No one in this day and age of cybernetics and future and robots and aliens, no one has revisited Exo Squad.
God, there's hope for you.
Yeah. And if they reissue the toys, can you imagine how much they would cost today with the parts count that an Exo Frame had?
Duran, I'm going to throw the same question to you, but I'm going to take a guess as well. I'm going to say Dino Riders.
Yeah, because I said it earlier. Right. That's probably my number one line that's not really a current property that's not actively pursued, I guess, or at least as far as we know. I know they were produced by Tyco back in the day, Tyco Toys. And I believe Mattel bought Tyco after they downsized or something.
No, Hasbro. Hasbro owns Tyco.
Okay. Yeah. So somebody, it seemed like I saw Mattel actually was doing the, had copyrighted Dino Riders. I don't know if that was them. It might have been Hasbro. But that's my number one franchise. If I had to pick a second one, gosh, I don't know.
I'm gonna throw this out there. Centurions.
Yeah, yeah.
Power Extreme.
And Dawn dropped off for some reason. I don't know what happened.
Well, we're reaching the 9 o'clock hour, yeah. And we're about to switch casts.
Well, before we do, we're going to do the cast change here in about 5 to 10 minutes. Real quick, Mr. Kent, you want to tell us about your favorite Transformer memory from Christmas? Do you have any?
Yeah, the first Christmas that they were available, I got Soundwave and the cassettes. It's hard to beat that.
Whoa.
One. Somebody's phone beeping.
I actually have a memory. It's actually the story of how, for any kids who are listening, you need to go out to the other room right now. All right. So this is actually how I found out about Santa Claus.
Mm.
I was in my mom's room, and I walked into her closet, and I saw Trypticon, Metroplex, and Skylinks all lined up in the box. And I'm like, Mom, what are these toys? She says to me, oh, those are, you know, Robbie's mom dropped those off because, you know, she wants to hide them from Robbie. I'm like, oh, okay. And I walked away, never once thought about them again or thought to go look at the boxes. They just disappeared from my memory. Just didn't exist to me. And then on Christmas, here we go. I got Metroplex, I got Trypticon, and Skylinks all in one Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And that was an amazing Christmas. I remember Trypticon and Skylinks walking across my kitchen floor. And I remember asking Robbie's mom, did Robbie like his Transformers? She's like, what? What are you talking about? And I put two and two together, and I realized that...
Wait a minute.
something's not adding up here. I mean, I'm not good at math, but something's not working out right.
You know, that reminds me of a time whenever I was little, and I was... it was early December. I don't remember, you know, exactly when. It might have been late November. It's sometime leading up to Christmas. The weather outside was warm enough that Mom and Dad were outside doing some stuff to the house. And I was inside playing with my toys like I always do. And I remember I was down on the floor and I'm hearing echo again. I was down on the floor and I see you now. There we go. Now you went away. But I was down on the floor. I was playing with my toys, and I came up on a closet. And the closets that we had in my house when I was little, there wasn't actual doors on them. There was just like a curtain that hung up in front of it. And I was pretending something with the curtain was like some kind of barrier. And they go through, and I remember I went through and I opened it up, and there was like all these toys like stacked up in the bottom of this closet. I'm sitting there for a moment. You know, Mom and Dad wasn't in the house, and I'm sitting there and I'm like,
now you had siblings, right?
At this time, I do have siblings, but at the time, they had all graduated from high school and moved out. I was the only one living at home at this time. And I sat there for a moment, and I'm like, what are all these toys? It's like, whose toys are these? And I'm like, I asked for that for Christmas, and that, and I'm like, and it just dawned on me, and I'm like, oh, crap. I bet these are my Christmas toys.
These are my Christmas toys.
And so I closed the curtain real quick. Picked up my toys. I'm hearing echo again.
Echo. Yeah, I hear it too.
I picked up my toys and I turned to get out of the room because I didn't want to be caught in there. You know, it's not that I was told to be playing with toys in that room, but I mean, playing in that room. I was just in there. It was innocent. And from the front porch in our old house, you could actually look in a room and look through the hallway to the bedroom that I was in. And I stood up with my toys and turned around, and my mom was looking directly at me. Her eyes were like stabbing me, you know, and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Playing?" And I held up my toys, you know, that I was playing with. I'm like, "I'm playing with my toys." Like, and she goes, "Were you just in that closet?" And I'm like, "No, no, I wasn't in the closet. I didn't see the toys in that closet." I didn't get any of those toys that year. Not a one. I did not get a single one of those toys. Yeah. That sucked. That sucked. There was some good stuff in there, too. I remember the G.I. Joe His Tank was in there. I take that back. There was one item I did get out of that. It was the Sky Striker. The G.I. Joe Sky Striker. I think the Transformers I got that year were... I might have got like Wheeljack and somebody else. But yeah, I remember that very vividly. I'll never forget, you know, thinking that I had accidentally discovered them and I thought I was going to get away from it. And I stood up and there she was. She was like right there just looking in the window. What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. You're a bad person.
Bad, bad person.
That reminds me of one real quick.
Okay.
We had a downstairs sink, a double sink that you would, you know, like wash clothes in and stuff. And my dad told us that the pipes broke underneath that sink and he put cardboard in front of it. So Christmas Day, we go down there and he removes the cardboard and it was the Defiant box underneath of these two sinks. He had nowhere else to hide it.
Yeah, that box was gigantic. I remember that one. Let's see here.
That is one of my top 10 G.I. Joe pieces yet, is Defiant box. I've got a flag and I've got a Terradrome in the box, but Defiant still eludes me. I've got a loose complete one. I just need a box one.
Definitely. Well, Mr. Kent, I want to thank you for joining us on the podcast tonight. Do you have a website or anywhere that people might want to look up for more information about your products and or even contact you if they want to?
Yes. Everything can be found at Toyinfinity, one word, .com.
Awesome. Toyinfinity.com. For more information,
Toyfinity.
On, or Toyfinity.
Toyfinity.
Okay.
Toyfinity.
Toyfinity. Toyfinity.com.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
So if you are interested in finding more out about what we talked about tonight, check out Toyfinity.com. Thank you once again so much for joining us, and hope to see you again on the show sometime soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
John,
for having me. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to add in the rest of the cast here. And since Don got accidentally booted off by his computer, we'll have him talk a little bit here and tell us about his favorite memories and some favorites. Rick, we'll see you after the turn of the year.
Happy holidays, everyone. Have a safe New Year's. Please do not drink and drive. If you're going to drink, call a friend, have them pick you up. Make the right choice, guys.
Absolutely.
And Happy New Year's, everyone.
And buy a great book off of Amazon. You know, I'm a little bit partial to this book, so I think it's really, really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're not Rickrolling you either.
No.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays, everyone. Take care.
Take care, Rick.
Good night.
Bye, Don.
All right, we'll be. I'll be adding in the people here, and just kind of bear with me. And Don, what's your favorite holiday memory?
Well, I've got several from when I was young, back in the day. You know, after dodging dinosaurs, getting home from school, and everything. I have two memories that stick out. One is one year for Christmas. My parents got me a couple of Transformers. I was 16 or 17 at the time. And, you know, I was still getting gifts at that point. You know, I knew they weren't, you know, from somebody, but I still got them. And, one year my folks got me Scorponok. And that was really I had him on the list, but I figured I wouldn't get him because he cost so much at that point. But, you know, I got two or three gifts, and I opened up one Christmas Eve and the rest would be Christmas Day. And I opened up the small one, and I got Perceptor, which was, like, awesome. And, you know, I was a science geek, and I love Perceptor. Opened up the one the next day, and I got Scorponok, which was just, like, incredible. Just, it was awesome to get Scorponok. And then the year before that, this is me being a little jerky, but I requested a couple of things, and I got a big box about this big, about this wide, and it was about that thick. And we all know at that time Transformers had gift sets out.
Oh,
so I said, this is the Aerialbot gift set. It's got to be the Aerialbot gift set. Because Aerobots had just premiered that year in Keto Vector Sigma.
Stunicons.
Rip it open. No. Jetfire.
Ooh, yeah.
Somehow my mom had found a boxed Jetfire at Toys R Us. And I tried to hide my disappointment because it wasn't the Aerobots, and I was so sure it was them. But mom said the look on my face was just womp. So she took me the next day back to Toys R Us, and they had like 9 Jetfires there on a bottom shelf. And I dove in there, and at the very back of the Jetfires was one Aerialbot gift set, and they were the same price. So I swapped out the Jetfire for the Aerialbot gift set, and my mom did that for me because I really wanted the Aerialbots. You know, not knowing how boring they would eventually become, but it was the first Autobot combiner.
And actually, really Jetfire's probably, arguably, a better toy overall.
Exactly, but, you know, I wanted the combiners, and it was so cool. Someone to fight, someone go against Devastator. So those are my two big Christmas memories. Sorry, I'm yawning. It's a long day at work. A couple year-end thoughts.
Retail.
before I turn over to the next team. A couple of things. Basically, here's this. My toy of the year, we'll make some changes from what I said last week, I guess. My toy of the year, official toy of the year, is going to be a group of toys. Stuff that was so good, we weren't expecting it to be that good, but Hasbro really hit it out of the park towards the last half of the year. Not saying the first half wasn't bad, but we got some really phenomenal toys that were so much better than any right we thought they would be. I'm talking about Titans Returns Trigger Happy, Titans Return Top Spin. Absolutely phenomenal toys.
Two of the best deluxes all year.
Exactly. And I'm also talking about, of all things, Last Night Voyager Megatron. Without a doubt, probably one of the best movie toys they've ever done. And it blew me away on how good a movie toy could actually be and look and transform and be clean as far as the silhouette, the use of parts, the use of the mass. So my toys of the year are basically Hasbro hitting it out of the park with these designs, these concepts, these figures. My third party a little bit different. Durham, I'm not going to say what I think the third party toy of the figure is, because I'm going to leave that for you, because I'm guessing I know what it is for you.
I don't know.
Let you have that.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not. Well, I'm going to err on the side of caution. My toy of the year, my third party toy of the year, point blank slash contact shot from Make Toys. Great solid figure. Looks great in both modes. He's my favorite Autobot Target Master. And I think his Target Master is arguably, to me, the first decent, solid third-party Target Master that we've got. That wasn't a fiddly mess. That looks good as a gun. Looks good as in the humanoid mode. I think Contact Shot is an absolutely great piece. And I think some places still have them on sale from their holiday sales. My runners-up for third party of the year, Downbeat, Jazz, beautiful Jazz. I think he fills in my collection for a Jazz nicely. I can't see a Masterpiece Jazz at that price being any better than Downbeat. And my other one is going to be Klaatu, the Cosmos from X-Transbots. There's three Cosmoses out now. Four if you count the clear version from Toy World. I have the clear version because, you know, me and the clear plastics. But I think that's a great Cosmos. It's solid. It looks like Cosmos. It's about the right shade of green. So I think that's one of the best figures because I just love Cosmos. I think it's a great figure. My biggest disappointment of the year, we mentioned this in passing, but I'm sort of disappointed about the way Hasbro handled Hascon and the lack of any Collector's Club information. I'm tying all this in together because it's when we lost BotCon, we knew we would not be getting an exact replacement. But they drug their feet on getting the information out about Hascon almost to the point where you either had to pay everything once you found out a date and go in blind, or it would be too late to make any plans by the time you got the information you needed, which I found somewhat appalling considering they had worked with FunPub for 15-plus years. They had been at BotCon. They've seen the way San Diego runs by attending them. They've been to Toy Fair and enough times. So they know how these presentations run. They know to get people in the doors – the people need information to make plans. There's still no information on the Collectors Club. The two exclusives, other than RC and Double and Grotesque, were RC we knew about at the show. Grotesque was out of the blue, no advance warning. He's at HTS right now. Crash the server. Hope and pray you get one. And the randomness of these releases, the lack of a collector's club information, because if we're not getting a BotCon back, as we've talked about on this show, then we should be getting something, even at a very small scale, to fill this niche. And random HTS releases with no warning and huge secondary market prices because you don't know if or when they're coming back out, plus the lack of information on Hascon to make a viable decision – that whole thing is the biggest disappointment for me for 2017. So, you know, that's my thoughts on the matter. I didn't go to Hascon. I think if I had more information, but when you see those kind of prices with that little information, and in my case having to fly because it was way too long to drive.
Yeah, but if you would have waited to the last minute, you would have saved a lot of money.
Right. But again, with my work, you have to put in bare minimum 3 to 4 weeks in advance.
Right.
And that's bare minimum.
Right. But my point on that, my little dig on that is that because they had so little information and because they waited to the last minute that they had to reduce the prices to get people to go. I mean, you basically screwed everyone that was supporting it from the beginning. Exactly.
I wasn't going to allude to that, but I figured everyone knew that because it was just
that's
such
okay.
A,
I'll do it.
Yeah, it's just such an asinine thing. So that again, I guess, but it boils down to is the biggest disappointment is We knew we weren't getting a replacement from BotCon. We understand that. We're not idiots. We got that. But the lack of any information, the lack of details, the lack of communication, then all of a sudden you expect us to spend $600 on a package to a show that we don't really know what's going on, plus airfare, plus hotel. It's just with them working with FunPub, working with BotCon, having done trade shows themselves, the execution on this first show, I think, was just downright pitiful.
It just blows my mind how they treated somebody like Benson Yee. It's not that they mistreated him per se, but I mean, somebody who has done so much for the fandom and so much for the franchise. And he is an all around amazing person. Basically tell them that, well, you know, we're sorry that you spent a lot of money and we offer discounts later. It's dirty. It was dirty. I'm sorry.
It's bullshit. And yeah. I'm sorry for cussing, but that's what it is.
Call
it's
it what it is. Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's, I guess my highlight of the year, G2 Cybertron Prime. That was an unexpected, wonderful little thing. So that I bought two.
Absolutely. Well, Don, I want to thank you. I know you've got to get up at the butt crack of dawn in the morning. So
Oh, dark 30 will come early.
So I want to thank you for being on this evening, and we will see you after the turn of the year. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas to y'all guys. Have a great rest of the show. I'm out. Take care, guys.
All right. Take it easy, Don.
All right, everybody. It's Megamus. Welcome to the show tonight.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Hello, Puppet. Jim Black. Under the weather, Jim Black.
Oh, oh, oh. Hello.
Yeah. Don't throw up on us.
No, that was before I turned the camera on.
And Michael Swift, Sideburn 2, welcome.
What's up, everybody?
So, you know, we're talking about our holiday favorites and our holiday memories and our favorites and high spots and low spots of 2017. Yeah, the butt crack of dawn. No, butt crack of dawn. D-A-W-N, not dawn. Not dawn's butt crack. Ooh, that imagery is not something I want to see.
He's trying to get me to toss my cookies and milk.
Ooh. It'd look a lot like eggnog, I'm sure. I wanted to do a little bit of something different this year. You know, every year we've done our Secret Santa, we draw names and, you know, send somebody something that we think they would like and then open it here on air. Well, this year I thought I'd do something a little different and kind of leave it more open. I told everybody, you know, if you feel like getting somebody something, if you know something, somebody wants something particularly, you know, or have a good idea what somebody wants, send them something other and we'll open it here on air. Well, it turns out that Michael was the only one that received anything. Michael, you received a package, and I have to say it was from me. What does said package look like? I heard that it was decorated quite well.
Now, this isn't the first time I've received a package from Orson at Captured Prey on behest of Duran, but they always come so decorated in such fancy ways. Like you can see here, you got a Yuletide.
Right. And it's a tidal wave.
We got some detergent and also Yuletide over here. How about the Santa Claus and adjacent mask that says Slayer. Adjacent mask that says Slayer for whatever reason.
Slayer, yeah.
The post office stuck a sticker on the Yule tree, which looks like a palm tree, because I live in Florida. But you know, he put Caribbean underneath it. I don't quite live on an island.
That's something I always had an issue with whenever I lived in Florida. It was like I was used to like Santa Claus all dressed up and everything. But in Florida, you see so much more of Santa in like Bermuda shorts and a Hawaiian shirt with sunglasses on a beach. And it's like, this is not Christmas, folks. And then you don't want to know what a fully dressed palm tree looks like with lights on it. You know, there's a reason that palm trees typically aren't decorated for Christmas. Because if you wrap lights around a palm tree and then take a string of lights and go out on each one of the fronds, it looks like something else. It doesn't look very Christmassy.
A rosy palm tree.
Yeah. Michael, what do you think is in the box?
A lot of plastic to keep it from jiggling around, because I can't tell.
Oh my God. He just broke it. You just shattered it, man.
It was a G2 slingshot.
It's time.
How do you know? Yes.
I have a knife. It's serrated.
It's a knife? That's not a knife.
I'm going to cut into it now.
Brett looks so enthused.
Received shit in a box.
Yes. Yes.
Holes too expensive, of course.
It's not a dick in a box either. I sent him better. I sent him hentai.
I have wanted this thing since I was a kid. For people who aren't watching live or video, it's the freaking taco tank. From
Neo, yes.
Beast Wars Neo, or Beast Wars Second.
I
believe it's second. Yeah, I believe Beast Wars Second. Yeah, I card should be in there somewhere.
He sits in the top or something like that, right? Or is he in the box?
He might be in the box.
Oh, there he is. Oh, that's pretty cool, man. This is like another one of my grails for what grails a Beast Wars person could have. It was one of the ones up there.
It's yeah. Package. I actually, that came from a collection that I had to photograph sometime back in the summer for Captured Prey. And whenever it came through, I picked it up and I'm like, this thing is so cherry. And I'm like, I know who would love this toy. And I knew back in July who that would belong to. And I actually bought that back in July for you. Or, well, I had arranged to buy that back in July. I paid for it this month. But yeah, I knew who that was to go to. And I'm glad you enjoy it, man.
No, it's awesome. And if anyone doesn't know what Eckard and the Taco Tank is, Eckard was he's a repaint of, we got him in America as Clawjaw.
Clawjaw, yeah.
And so he is like a white blue repaint, and then he has this octopus tank, and then inside the head here is a cool little motorcycle that Eckard can ride. It's just all around a cool set.
If I'm not mistaken, the the taco tank itself, the octopus, is actually an unused Microman toy. It was a Microman design, and because if you actually take the center of the octopus actually comes out and becomes a bike. Icard actually doesn't quite fit in him. He's able to ride it, but it's not quite the way you would think he would be able to. It's more for an actual G.I. Joe size figure, I would guess.
Hit the spring. It's spring loaded.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, you don't force it open.
Where's the spring?
There's a button.
And then there's also a lever on the back that controls the tentacles.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm incompetent. I'll look at this.
Well, before the end of the show, you got to show him on the motorcycle because that's the coolest part.
Yeah. But that is actually, from what I understand, an unused Microman toy that they brought over to Transformers. So that's why it's got that weird... It almost doesn't fit, but it, you know, it's a Beast Wars toy.
Trying to avoid crinkling in the mic because I know that's not very fun sounds.
But hey, this is a holiday episode. People should be used to that on here.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, appreciate man. It. I very much appreciate it.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
man.
To you.
Glad you enjoy it. So do you have a favorite holiday memory that involves Transformers?
Oh, man. I think I've told this one before, but it was one year where it was the very first year that Armada was out. And I wouldn't say we had small Christmases, but they usually weren't like giant. But like for whatever reason, this year we got a ton of stuff. And I think I got like the whole entire first wave of Armada. I mean, including leaders and deluxes and all that. But on top of that, like, I don't know how my parents found it because, obviously it wasn't in production anymore at that time, but they found an RID Scourge.
Ooh.
The only one at a Toys R Us. And just decided on a whim, he doesn't have that one. We'll pick that one up for him. And Scourge is like one of the coolest characters ever. So you can't complain when you open that, not expecting that on Christmas Day. And I also got the G1 reissue Ultra Magnus, which was, I got quite a few cool toys that year.
Was that one of your first G1s that you ever got?
I think it was the second G1 I ever got. The first being the reissue Prowl. And I had won that on a contest from you. And then you had sent me at the same time this guy.
Oh, yeah, the world's smallest Prime. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, that was like the second G1 Transformer I'd ever experienced. And, I mean, you can't go wrong. Ultra Magnus is pretty cool. But yeah, randomly opening a Scourge on Christmas Day when you didn't expect it, along with like the entire first wave of Armada, I had a really good day.
Absolutely. So, Jim, do you have a favorite holiday memory you'd like to tell people about?
Favorite holiday memory.
Okay, there's Eeyore.
A few of them. Is that?
You sound like Eeyore. Favorite holiday memory.
No. To our viewers, I'm getting over a bit of a head cold. So, I've got the whole Peter Griffin thing going on with the deeper voice.
You're just Barry White.
It's not working so far. I don't know. It's not Peter Griffin-y enough, I guess.
Anyway. I'm just waiting for him to say, and here we are with the slow songs of the 90s.
And here we are K-Tel. With the slow songs. Christmas memory.
Yeah, you're killing us with the mic.
I'm going to have to probably chalk that up to one I've told before on the show here. That being the Christmas that I received Generation 1 for in bulk. The Decepticon Headmaster. And not long before that, or earlier that year, we had suffered a house fire, my family and I, and we had lost everything. Like the entire house ended up in the basement. And, little bit of me, getting something like horrible, it was just like the greatest thing because, I at the time didn't have any.
It lightened your darkest hour.
It absolutely did. Oh my God. You have no clue. That was the greatest thing. I remember quite a lot about that particular Christmas. A lot of the others over the years, they just kind of blend together into vague obscurity, but that one stands out. I remember, when I got that year, I remember various family members that were all together at my great-grandmother's house that year. I remember what we ate. I mean, this, I don't know. That's just something
about a memory that that brings back the associations, and it just enhances the whole experience.
That's what I chalk it up to. That really is. Because that was 1989 is when we had that fire, and so lots of Christmases have come and gone since then. Almost 30. I'm old. That's got to be my favorite Christmas memory, simply because of not only the nostalgia and the reminiscing from that figure, but also the associated memories that came with that. My great grandmother, she would have the place decked out. She'd pull out she had this like plastic tree. It was like just like no leaves or anything on it. It was just like a plastic instrument of death. Like you could kill somebody with this thing, right? But it was made specifically to put little gummy spice drops all over to make a spice drop tree. What's that?
I've seen those before.
Yeah. Yeah, those are dangerous. I stabbed myself many times on that thing. But man, she had that. She had she would like have the full spread of the Christmas dinner. Pressure cooker, like 1950s stove. I mean, the whole bit. It was great. That's one of my happiest Christmases as well, I have to say.
I can see why, man. That's pretty awesome. Now, do you have I know you're feeling under the weather. That's why I'm trying to kind of get you out of the way here real quick.
Yeah, I've got a little jingly hat to keep you warm.
Yeah.
Put a belt on it.
I don't mean to sound like I'm rushing you through it, but I know you feel under the weather, so I'm going to get you out of the way. That way you can log off and go lay down and bury your head in the sand or something.
I still got to work in the morning. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Do you have what's your favorite official and unofficial toy of 2017?
Well, I have to admit, as far as unofficial third-party items go, and a lot of you viewers probably know this from the past, I don't generally follow third party simply because there's just so much and I just it would be too much of a hassle for me to get in for my limited budget. That being said, though, I've always been a fan of the Toy Hacks Repro labels. And recently I ran across this person's post, and they they posted the best response in ye olde English gets a free set of Titans Return Windblade Repro labels. And I evidently won that because I ended up getting the sticker sheet with the anticipation of getting Windblade. Never saw Windblade till like 4 days ago.
Oh,
total snack one. So as far as unofficial stuff, I have to say, you know, the repro labels for Windblade is they actually went on in places I wouldn't imagine that one would put stickers.
Yeah, repro labels.
It all came together really nicely.
Yeah, repro labels tends to be rather creative with their stickers and their placements.
Absolutely.
So, sometimes it's a little bit too tedious, in my opinion, because sometimes I know I got the I got the upgrade set for Combiner Wars Wheeljack, and the ones that went on the spokes of the tires. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's like, why? But, you know, the rest of it looks really, really good.
Right. That's where you just get out the silver paint and hope for the best. But yeah, just the only other set of repro labels that I had even messed with or purchased before was some years ago was for Power Master Optimus Prime. So that was a bit more in my neck of the woods, you know, lots of squares and rectangles, you know, not too many weird thin shapes with curves. And
I recently got some from Repro Labels. I spent $4, four whole dollars on a set for a G1 Fangry that nice. I got off of somebody that I know. I think it might be Mega Toy Fan. Yeah, I got a G1 Fangry, yeah, from Mega Toy Fan, and had no stickers on it, and I got some repro labels for it, and it was a whopping sheet that was maybe about that wide and about that high, had like 8 stickers on it, but it makes the toy look so good.
Oh, absolutely. And as far as favorite official, man, the past few months, I've been bombarded by just trying to catch up on Titans Return, and there's just so many. I mean, Overlord impressed me. Six Shot was just like a phenomenal update of the Generation 1 figure. But I have to say, one that has really impressed me, and I cannot seem to stop fidgeting with it, is Power of the Primes Slash, who is compatible with G1 Grimlock weapons, by the way. If you have spare G1 Grimlock weapons, yeah. It's a sheath.
Mm-hmm.
Or sword holder.
I've got mine with Titan Master Tarot. The one that looks like Swoop. I've got that Titan Master that rides in the back of it.
Yeah, so I have both of them sitting right here. I have Tarot and then Clobber here. I have with a Swoop launcher in the Titan Master port as kind of a longer tail.
Mm-hmm.
So, exhaust port, if you will.
The exhaust port.
Right. But yeah. Slash is just a neat figure. It captures the Dinobot feel. The articulation's amazing, and being able to hold securely the G1 Grimlock weapons like that, she's just awesome. I'm only hoping that someday soon some third-party manufacturer, and I'm not generally a third-party guy, so this is probably going to come as a shock, but I want a third-party. I don't care who. Somebody make a top hat for Slash.
Oh.
Maybe a guitar, too. I don't know, but at least the top hat.
Make a top hat for it with some hair that kind of, like, curls down.
Yes. Yes. like Knights of Unicron style.
Brett's like, you guys just need to burn in hell.
Either that, stand
out in the cold November rain.
Hey, it's either that or we go with an eye patch with a turtle shell.
Oh.
One or the other. I'd be happy with both. Actually, we'll do both.
I think like Michael has an objection to that.
Well, you don't want a top hat with a turtle shell?
No, you do you.
Yeah, Techotron says slag is great. And he has an emphasis on the A. Slag. Slag.
Yeah, I've not seen any of those at the stores yet.
Just
the holiday assortment from Walmart.
Talking about Titans Return, though, I actually saw for the first time at retail today, I saw two Slugslingers on the pegs.
Nice.
Man, I can't remember the last time I've seen a Transformer on a shelf, because where I moved to the closest, I don't even know where the closest like Super Walmart or anything is to like do actual toy hunting. So I almost exclusively online now.
Hey.
Turn around. What?
Toys on shelves.
Yeah, but I already have those.
Well,
now he knows, and knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe. Well, it's actually something we talked about on the last episode. You know, it goes along with the changing thrill of the hunt. You know, it's got to the point now where most people just go online and buy stuff. You know, I actually picked up Power of the Primes Jazz today from Capture Prey, simply for the reason that I didn't intend on getting this damn thing until that Make America Great Again came out, and I'm like, just because that slipped by Hasbro, I've got to have this toy.
I'm not familiar with this.
You don't know.
We had an episode on this the other day. Look at the Make America Transform Again. But yeah, there is a little small application, a tampo on here, right underneath the Autobot insignia, is written in Cybertronian, MAGA, Make America Great Again. And it was put on there, apparently, by a... what was it called? A freelancer, a vendor, somebody they had farmed it out to put the deco on here, and they snuck that in there. So, like, congratulations on losing your job over something stupid. and they've since put out an apology, a public apology, for that.
I still want a stepper ricochet repaint of that Jazz with the flame deco and a tampo that says "Feel the Burn."
I can't wait for this. This mold screams a Braver from the Road Caesar set. It just screams Braver to me. Or maybe a G2 Drench redeco. But anyway, so your favorite official toy of 2017 was what?
I'm going to have to go with Power of the Prime Slash.
Slash, that's right. Okay.
And she just made it in the last couple of weeks of the year, so it counts.
Yeah.
Sweet. Is Slash officially a she?
Yes, it is. On the on the back of the card.
She is a Dinobot. I still want paddles.
Yeah, if they were gonna insert a new Dinobot, I would have preferred them to have paddles. But you know, Slash is nice.
Failing that, would it be too much of a stretch to get some third party pieces to swap out the legs on Sludge? Could that be a thing? Maybe.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
I mean, when this ugly thing came out.
Yeah.
The only thing I think of was, though, it would be cool if they made a G1 version. Because, you know, Raptors are sort of like iconic when it comes to
fantasy dinosaurs. Thank Jurassic Park for that.
Exactly.
Jurassic Park was wrong. They only come up to like your knees or something.
Actually, there's
one that's pretty big.
Yeah, there was one that was discovered not long after Jurassic Park first came out, that there's a Velociraptor, I believe it's called Utah Raptor.
Yeah,
which is actually about the size that they were in Jurassic Park.
I think it's actually a little bigger,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
So there were raptors that were actually that big.
I think they were...
Jurassic Park isn't in Utah.
Yeah, well, I think they were privy to the discovery during the creation of it. They just didn't like the name Utah Raptor. They thought Velociraptor sounded cooler. So... But that's Jurassic Park. We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Other than stop making Jurassic World.
I'm still going to see it.
I'll see it when it comes out for free or something. But
catch it on Crackle.
When it goes on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
And Brett dropped off. Let's see here. Where did Megamus go? Megamus.
He was just tired of us.
Yeah.
We are megaless.
Michael, what's your favorite, your top picks for 2017?
Can I go back to 1998?
No.
So, top picks. Official as a masterpiece, and it's this guy. Because I loved him when I got him. He's a lot of fun. He looks spectacular. Like, he jumped right out of, you know, the animation. So I don't think you can go wrong with him. Like, some parts of his transformation are scary, and some people broke it because they're gorilla-fisted simpletons. That's not fair. But I think some of the breaking of it was because of some people were just too gorilla fisted with it. But it's otherwise a good figure despite a few flaws.
The only complaint that I have about for MP36 is whenever it's in gun mode and you're bringing it back, is getting the right behind the barrel, getting that separated.
Oh, yeah, that is scary.
That is scary.
I agree with that, and it took me a long time to get that separated back. But I guess that is one of the spots where a lot of people broke it. And I think that's one of the spots where I would say some of that is like gorilla fisting. You just sort of had to work it like really slowly until...
Be careful and slow with it, yeah.
Yeah, work it slowly. Don't try to force it.
Rest in peace, Harambe.
What's that?
Rest in peace, Harambe.
That's like 2 years old now or something like that, right?
I'm
Brett.
Did your connection drop or something?
Kinda, sorta.
Well, now that you're back, I was trying to get to you, but right before you dropped off. I'm Asian. Be careful when you're gorilla fisting.
I found out that when you switch your YouTube video, when I go from Megamus to TFYLP, so I could delete this idiot's comments.
I've since banned the.
I was gonna do that, but as soon as I switched over.
Oh, you guys are banning the chatbot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You should have been able to do it since you're a moderator on there. I'm surprised it won't let you do that.
No, it didn't have the options to
switch up there. Over.
But
I can switch over. But when I switched over, I lost the video.
awesome dating site. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yeah. And now my YouTube's locked up. There it goes.
So, Michael, you were going to tell us your favorite. You told us MP36 is your favorite official of 2017. What's your favorite third party? And I have a sneaking suspicion I know which one it is.
Yeah, so this is the first year I've ever bought third party for myself.
You actually received a third party last year.
What's that?
Yeah, I received. I have him back here. Hold on. Close up. Yeah. Last year's Secret Santa.
Quake wave.
Which is pretty nifty. But I think my third party is this guy. Oh, no, wait, hold on. I'm joking. If anyone, if you know who that is, that's the, what was that called?
Gorilla.
Beast Guerrera.
Guerrera, that's it.
Well, the one I held up was the other one that came out.
Oh, I don't remember the name of that.
Fans Arts, something or another. I think it was just called Commander. But no, yeah, it's Beast Guerrera. And look at this pretty guy. He's so cool. He's big. He's got diecast. He's a more stylized, Optimal Optimus. But I kind of like him. He kind of looks like.
Wait for the Primal Prime repaint.
Oh yeah, I got that one on pre-order.
And then the Transmetal Megatron, Transmetal 2 Megatron, and the Cryotech. Those look amazing too.
That's
coming soon.
I am yeah, so tempted to pre-order that. Orson told me the other day he put those up and the pre-order sold out in a day, and he's having to order more. If you're watching Capture Prey for pre-orders, watch that one. He will put more up.
Well, that just goes to show you that these companies that don't understand that there's a lot of people that are into the Beast Wars and they need to get more attention to that.
I don't collect Beast Wars anymore, but that is such a great toy and great design. I think I want it, and yeah, I'm on the fence about it.
In my mind, I'm sort of like this line I'm sort of viewing as like the, I don't know, like if Beast Wars was anime styled and not, CGI, because that's what it looks like. It's like anime / manga.
Kind of like Beast Wars 2nd and Beast Wars Neo.
Yeah. They have such a stylized design to them that it's like they stand apart from the original toy, but they also look like, I don't know, they look really good. And I had a lot of fun with this guy. Like, he's fun. The TransArts, that's what it was called. The TransArts isn't bad, but it's mostly just a smaller, like,
miniature highly, version.
More posable version of the original. I think they're also making a Megatron. But they're harder.
Any of these third-party primals that they've got out, do any of them have like an alternate Megatron head?
No. That would be something cool.
I kind of always wanted was for them to, years ago, I wanted Hasbro to do it, to release an optimal Megatron for Beast Machines.
That was one of my first customs way back when it first came out. Mm. I bought an extra one and actually cut the head off of a Megatron and got the face right in there so it looks just like it. Uh-huh. I always wanted one of those too. Mm.
Michael, are you thinking about picking up the Fans Hobby Red Dragon?
Yes, what we were just...
No, the Fans Hobby one is the one that was a repaint of...
Double Cross, yeah. But it's got some mold changes to it, too. It's got different wings, fists. And it's more of a, it's kind of like a, it's almost a Transmetal 2 Megatron, I guess.
Yes and no.
I've looked at it. I mean, I think what they were trying to evoke was more the,
RID Megatron.
What we got from BotCon 2016, right?
Yeah.
Because it even comes with the weapons that are like RID Megatrons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-headed dragon. I've considered it. I keep flip-flopping on it. That's like, I actually finally just took the plunge on the Leonidas, the retooled one that has a chest that's more like the actual Lyo Convoy than the original. And I'm hoping that I just, when I get that, it doesn't have any of the problems that the first release of that had. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've considered it. I keep flip-flopping on it. I'm a sucker for Beast Wars, obviously.
A little bit.
I never would have guessed.
Even though your name's Sideburn.
Yeah. RID was out when I joined the internet. And I liked Sideburn.
So, so Megamus, what's your favorite Christmas memory Transformer related?
Well, I don't have one Transformer related.
Toy related?
Nope. Never got them for Christmas.
Really?
Nope.
Not a single toy for Christmas.
Nope. Nope. I got the one thing I remember was getting the Millennium Falcon. And I remember vividly that it was $50. And the main reason I know that is because my dad told me many, many, many times that this was the only thing I was getting because it was $50. So I remember that. God, that would have been 1979, 1980, somewhere around in there. And then I remember getting the G.I. Joe Mobat for Christmas and proceeded to just run that thing. I almost ran the batteries out the first day. I love that thing. And that was the first figure. I know we're getting away from it for G.I. Joe, though. That was the first figure I ever had that had swivel biceps. Because that was brand new when it first came out. But as far as Transformers go, no. I mowed lawns and made my own money, and I bought them myself. I never got one for Christmas.
So, okay, let's move on to official and unofficial, your favorites. I know you mentioned those a couple episodes ago, but kind of rehash for those who missed.
Well, my favorite official is, you know, just because I love that masterpiece, the Optimus Primal. The animated version came out, and I love it. I think it looks even better. So that would be my pick.
I 100% agree with you, too.
I also picked for official the Trypticon. And the main reason I said that is because if you look at that, if you, like, you set that in a G1 Trypticon and you go across the room, they look identical. The only thing I didn't care for is some of the gimmicks they put into it. I think I would have rather have had some more articulation than the little, you know, the chomping or whatever it is, a swallowing gimmick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I thought it looked like a really, really outstanding toy. And then for my unofficial was Zeta Toys, the Bruticus limbs that they've released so far. And like I said, it's just, you know, the Bruticus is my favorite combiner. These look very, very show accurate, and $60 a piece. I mean, that's pretty hard to beat. So those were my picks for this year. The other thing we were talking about was some of the things about this year. And it was it's this year kind of sucked. Because there was no BotCon. And
that would have been my number one bad thing from this year is no BotCon.
It is, because I always look forward to it. You can bash it all you want. You can bash the club all you want. But they put on a good show. And it was the only time I got to see. I mean, there's people I'll probably never get to see again. I just don't think these other shows are going to live up to that one. To the extent they're getting there, but I feel that there's when you have people from all over the world that I would see all at once in one place, I don't think that's going to happen again. So for that, I'm definitely sad.
Yeah. Unless Hasbro changes their minds on how a convention should look.
Yeah. Real quick, I know Jim is feeling really under the weather, and I'm going to let you off the hook. Man, I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. And you're quiet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kilikumaka. And happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Jim. Take care.
See ya.
I mean, I agree with you. That would probably be my biggest downer of 2017 is no official BotCon anymore. And couple that with the somewhat, I guess I would classify it as somewhat as a disappointment of HasCon. Simply because we knew going into this thing that it was not going to be BotCon, wasn't meant to be a BotCon, but still had such serious issues with it. You know, it's like we hoped that they would actually make this something truly great and make us eat our words. But then whenever we saw the pricing and kept seeing all the goofs that they did, it just one thing right after another. And HasCon was a massive disappointment, in my opinion.
Yeah, nothing turned out to be a true exclusive either.
Yeah.
Other than maybe that power brick that
which
no one wanted.
Nobody wanted, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a few people that wanted it, but it just...
What was the... was it a black Power Master Prime?
Oh, the primitive, yeah.
Was that exclusive, or did that come out in other conventions?
I believe that was San Diego Comic-Con.
So they shared exclusive with other, just like we thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
I think so, with that one.
Okay.
Now...
that one actually kind of looked pretty neat. That one kind of looked good.
Yeah.
Because then it gave me hopes that they would do like a Fire Guts and do some of the E-Hobby repaints that we got.
It's just too bad because they use the pre-retool version of it, so I don't think it can, you know, become Super God Genrai, right?
Yeah.
I have to say that after, like, because 2016 was my first, like, full BotCon year, I missed going to a convention, even though I only went to one for Transformers, but it was so much fun to be around so many people that are like-minded, you know, hanging out with these guys in person, having people come up to me and say, hey, I like, listen to the show, have a discussion with me, and then maybe ask me for a picture or something like that. But it was a surreal experience being around so many, you know, other like-minded individuals.
Absolutely. And it sucked that the second day you pretty much spent in bed because you got sick.
Yeah, I was just so sick that Sunday.
Death warmed over.
That was a bad one too. That flu lasted like a week. I didn't go to work even when I got home. I was bedridden.
But as far as positives for 2017, I think the most positive thing was the overall success of the power of the Titan Returns line. There was some really great stuff released in that line. You had the great Trigger Happy, the Titan Returns Triptychon, with that amazing Full Tilt that came with it, which I've got an upgrade sticker sheet for it, and I still haven't applied it yet. You know,
I just wish my Triptychon didn't have the hips. I had to modify them.
Yeah, I was fortunate I didn't have to modify my hips at all on mine. But, you know, and as a Weird Wolf fan, I finally got a mainline release Weird Wolf, and I'm just over the moon about that. So, 2017, as far as ups, despite the fact of having no BotCon this year, really was a great year for me personally. I mean, the main line was essentially nothing but Headmasters, which is my favorite gimmick of all time. So I can't really complain too much about 2017 in retrospect. Now, what about you, Brett? What do you think your the highlight of 2017 is?
Oh, I'd have to say that, even though I doubted it, TFCon was the best TFCon that I've ever had. It was great. It was a fun time, and we did really well. And I really thought it was going to, because of the location, I thought it was going to be kind of stale or just not a lot of people. But that was evidently an area that had been untapped for a long time, and it was very, very good for vendors. It was very good for registers and pre-registering. I mean, it was a great hotel. So I would have to say one of the highlights was TFCon. It was a really, really good show. I was really impressed.
Yeah, it's. I wish I had been able to go, but it just wasn't in the cards for me. I love Washington, D.C. The last time I was there was about 3 months, give or take, before 9/11. So, yeah, it was pre-9/11 the last time I was in D.C., but I enjoyed that town. There were so much great things to see there. You could be there for an entire week and not see everything you'd like to see. Honestly, and you could spend an entire week in the Smithsonian, honestly, in my opinion. But Transformers convention aside, you know, you could go for 2 weeks and be booked up in D.C. What about you, Mike? What's your highlight of 2017?
I'm going to have to say looking forward to 2018. And that sounds kind of, you know, like I didn't like 2017, but actually it's more, and a lot of people are upset about the price, but I'm so freaking excited for that Dinobot.
What, the Velociraptor?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, but they did it. I'm sort of happy with the pictures showing the gaps and stuff because they did a lot of hiding that for Cheetor. And so when I got Cheetor and saw him in his beast mode, I was like, oh, there's a lot of gaps you didn't see in any of the pictures. So in that regard, I'd rather know beforehand. Sure. And I buy these things for robot modes, so, you know, I'm super excited about that, and I hate that I have to wait till like, July.
Is he that far off? I thought he was, like, March or something. March or April?
I thought it was, like, June or July.
Stand by.
But I don't know. Actually, like...
July.
Wow. Yeah. You know, yes. I hate to admit this because there's so much hate about it online, but it was one of those things. I saw it and I'm like, that thing looks awful. I want it. And I have to say I did. I went out and I got it. But I've got to wait till like July for it. And it's that stupid headmaster, the Japanese comedians. With it's the Fortress Maximus with the goofy face, yeah, I got one of those.
If I had a G1 Fort Max,
well, this is for Titan Returns.
Is it? I thought, yeah, it was a G1.
No, it's Titan Returns. It's Titan Returns, and it comes with two Titan Masters that look like the Japanese comedians, and then the Cerebros. The Cerebros turns into, I think, their logo, I think.
Yeah.
But he looks like he's high as crap. You know, it's like,
yeah, I saw it, and it's...
weird.
Japan, man.
Yeah.
You gotta love it. You gotta love that country. Mm-hmm. It's just so wacky.
But I, you know, at first I saw it, I was really averse to it, and then the more I looked at it, and I'm like, but it's so unusual. That's going to be one of those things that it's so unusual now. Nobody wants it, but down the road, people look back on it. And it's like, that's weird. That's unusual. I want it, and it's going to be really, really valuable. I kind of foresee that. You know, one of the things I can use as an example for that is Taco Tank. You know, back in the day, it was weird. It's like, what the hell? Nobody wants that. Now, you know, a lot of people want it. You know, it's a good toy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite the same weirdness of the Headmaster thing, but it's unusual. You know, and people balk at unusual stuff right off the bat, and just because it's not normal doesn't mean it's not good, in my opinion.
When I saw that, I was like, "What the heck is this? And how do I get it?" Because it's just so strange.
Transformers new fan Carrie, she said her favorite toys of the year were Planet X Fall of Cybertron Seekers, and official toy was Headmaster RC.
Well, that make Don happy.
Yeah.
Those Planet X Fall of Cybertron guys.
I am shocked that did not make Don's favorite toy of the year.
He got an honorable mention last time.
He's been asking.
An honorable mention, but it wasn't his favorite.
I know, but I mean, he's been asking for that for over two decades. Finally gets the toy, and it doesn't even make
it. He wants something else.
Yeah, finally gets it, and it doesn't even make his top toy of the year. Picard facepalm. But you know, my favorite official toy of 2017. It's hard to say. I'd have to go with Titan Returns Trypticon. That is probably the best toy of 2017, official, in my opinion. There's just so much to love about it. The accuracy to the original character, the detail on it, the size of the thing. I mean, the size will blow you away. The awesome inclusion of the Full Tilt, which is a really great figure. If they had released that by itself, it would have been a good selling figure, in my opinion. It's just a really, really great figure. Titan Returns Trypticon. I'm a little bit disappointed that the Japanese version essentially didn't have too much different to offer to make the price worth it. Or I would have probably went with the Takara version, simply because I love Trypticon.
I'm crossing my fingers that they don't release some like something Con exclusive Gigastorm, because I might have to buy it and it's going to cost me so much money.
Well, you know, Gigastorm is eventually going to come, and we keep getting.
Yep.
Spam. And you know what? There's a little block thing here. Goodbye, ass munch. Yeah.
But how am I going to find my love?
Yeah, find your love. Yeah, go F yourself. you'll find it with yourself. But my favorite unofficial toy of 2017, you know, a lot of people were speculating before, and I have to say it's my runner-up. It really is my runner-up. Fans Toys FT20 Terminus Giganticus. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful toy.
G1, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, as G1 accurate as you can possibly get, in my opinion. Plus, it's just huge. I mean, the sheer immensity of this toy is just, it blows me away. The fact that it comes in two parts and I mean, it barely fits in my Detolf. But it's one of those toys that that somebody walks in the room, they see it on the shelf, and it's an immediate eye catcher, and they're like, whoa, that thing's awesome. But it's a runner-up. And I have to go with my default, my toy of the year for 2017, Fans Toys Lupus. the definitive masterpiece Weird Wolf, in my opinion. If I didn't choose this toy, I would feel remiss. And to me, Fans Toys Lupus is my toy of the year for third party. Only because I'm biased. I'm not saying that there was not a better toy released, but I'm admitting my full bias on that. And then my third runner-up would have to be, again, going to Fans Toys, Phoenix. That Skyfire. Oh my gosh, that Skyfire. Yeah. But, yeah, FT-22, Giganticus is not my toy of the year. Believe it or not. Let's see here. Report. This person is just like absolutely burning it up. And even though I keep banning them, they keep renaming their name and coming back. Lunar Fury, he says Trigger Happy and Misfire is official. Can't stop playing with either one. Night Sword says damn straight that Jetfire. unofficial Lunar Fury says Make Toys Meteor. The Starscream is his favorite, but he has a Starscream bias though. I actually held the Galaxy Meteor in hand today for the first time, and I was pleasantly surprised by it. Not something I actually want myself because it's, well, yeah, not my generation. but it's I'm not saying that it's not a bad design or bad toy. It really is a great design and great toy.
Yeah, but he sort of has like he kind of serves a dual purpose, right? Because he's also basically the War Within Starscream.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you guys have any? What's that?
I was just going to say, I feel like we're maybe a little too far out from War Within for that to really matter anymore, but
yeah. But you know, I think we've had a really great show tonight. You know, we kicked it off with some great information and interesting stuff. You know, if you've ever wondered what it would take to get started up with a company and maybe even bring back some old franchises that you grew up with, there was some insight into that, and we want to thank Mr. John Kent for joining us. Some great Christmas memories, great toys, and great thoughts on 2017. We'd love to hear your thoughts on 2017. Post them in our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Or tweet them to us on Twitter at TFYLP. I am actively trying to be more active on Twitter. I know I let that medium go so long. You know, it's like I might post on there. I had, up until recently, I might have been posting on there maybe once a month, and I need to fix that. But I've actually been working on that, and I've done better. We'd love to hear your thoughts on 2017, favorite Christmas thoughts or Christmas memories rather. Share them with us on our Facebook group. Even if you've told us about them last year, you know, it's great to go back and relive those moments that were so dear to us as kids. You know, I forgot to mention mine, but I'll go back over it real quick. I know I talked about it last year. My favorite Christmas memory was, I believe, the Christmas of 86. You know, there was still a lot of 85 toys still on the shelf. And it was following a long extended hospital stay that I had. My parents thought that I was going to die. And by that Christmas, you know, I was out of the hospital and staying at home again. They were just happy to have me. My dad sold his business and we moved to Florida. It was my first Christmas in Florida as a Florida resident. And my dad took his money from his business. I want to say it was somewhere around $5,000. And allotted $5,000 to my Christmas. And I got like nearly everything that was on the shelf that year for Transformers. And it just blew me away. It's like I'd open a present, Transformer, open a present, Transformer, open a present, Transformer. I got Shockwave that year, all three Insecticons, you know, Blitzwing, you know, a few of the Autobot cars. I mean, it just kept coming, and it was a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, and I will never ever forget that. A great time. But programming note: we will not be coming live again for the remainder of 2017, and we will return on. Let me double check the date to make sure I'm saying it right. I believe I mentioned it earlier, but yes, January 13th. No, my bad. January 8th. It is January 8th. I did misspeak earlier. January 8th, which is a Monday. It's a special night. We will be returning with TFYLP. We will be having special guest Brian Volkweis, the creator and the executive producer of the Netflix original series, The Toys That Made Us. Begins December 22nd. Be sure to check it out. Watch the show and then watch our show January 8th. On YouTube here. Really looking forward to that show and having Brian on the show.
Absolutely, because it's also someone's birthday. So if you want to bring me presents, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know whose birthday it is. Maybe they might be important.
A little bit.
Yeah. But, you know, bring Brett gifts. Yes. Hashtag bring Brett gifts. but yeah, we'll have Brian Volkweis on that show, and we will also have a special guest member of the cast. He's a person that's actually been on TFYLP before, I think a lot of people will be excited to have him on again. I invited him on because I figured it would be a really great dynamic to have him on, plus Brian Volkweis. And little foreshadowing, if I'm not mistaken, our guest cast member actually appears on the Netflix series, The Toys That Made Us. So, you know, kind of guess around, and you might guess it, but I'm not going to confirm it until January 8th. Check us out on Monday, January 8th. At 8 p.m. or normal start time, but just a different night. And then we will return again probably the following Saturday with our regular schedule podcast. So I hope everybody has a very safe and very happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Hopefully lots of toys that you get that night or that day. Whenever you celebrate Christmas, it's still kind of up in the air for us in this household. Don't know if we're going to do it Christmas Eve or Christmas morning or Christmas night. I don't know. But I know I'm broke now. but happily broke. I love to see smiles on people's faces, you know, get things that I know people like. And, you know, it's important to me to make my friends and my family happy, you know. And I'd love to have got everybody something this year, but, you know, like with you, Michael, I saw that and you were the very first person that came to mind. And I'm like, I don't need to know anybody else to get anything for Christmas. I know what I'm getting Michael. And I just hoped and prayed that you didn't get a taco tank between then and between like June and now. and
someone on the podcast right now with us sent me a message like 3 weeks ago, said, hey, do you still want a taco tank? But
shocking, isn't it?
Well, I was trying to figure out a way to figure out whether or not you had gotten one in that interim time. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? And Brett suggested, well, I can ask him, say,
You know, and it's funny, too, because I'm sitting there like, he never got back to me about that taco tank.
I just kind of forgot about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking into it. Yeah, I'll be right back on it. Yeah. That was for me. I needed some intel, and I got it.
Well, thanks. It definitely made my day, made my year. Been wanting that thing for a long time.
I'm glad you like it and hope you enjoy it. It's a fun toy. There's a lot to enjoy about that toy. It really is.
I just don't know where he's going to go.
Yeah, that was my main reason for selling it, is because he took up a lot of real estate on a shelf. Those tentacles, they spread.
They do.
And yeah, adults dating website, how to suck my dick. Okay, you can suck mine.
It's done.
Goodbye.
I got it.
You can suck mine. You're gone.
You're gone.
Yeah. For those of you who are listening on the audio version, our live chat tonight has been inundated with sex spam. So yeah, we've tried to be on top of it. This is the first time for that. I'm surprised that Google has let it slip by.
Well, I don't understand how we keep banning them and they keep getting back in.
Yeah, that is kind of odd. Well, if you notice the username changes, but the front part is always the same.
The sex bots have been getting pretty bad. Like, they've been sending me messages on PlayStation.
Oh wow! Yeah, I have not received them on PlayStation yet. Yeah. Wow. Maybe we need to start sending them pictures of like Dick Clark and Dick Tracy and stuff like that, and say, "Hey, how do you like my dick pics?" You know, Richard Grayson. <Na-da-da-da-da>. All right, guys, this has been TFYLP, a special extended episode of the podcast, a holiday episode. Lots of great stuff on here. Lots of great memories. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to everyone. We'll see you next year on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Good night.
Feliz Navidad. Watch out for the Krampus.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.